good song service. And each of you being here tonight, thank God for our love and our fellowship together, and to be able to meet one more time here at the Little Happy Creek Church to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth is a great, great privilege. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read with me tonight, I'd like to read in your hearing the 91st division of the Psalms. Psalm 91. This psalm has been on my mind for almost a month now. I'm just thinking about it, reading it, studying, looking at it. I thought several times that I was going to use it as a text, and it seems to have been led in other directions. Tonight, I hope and pray this is of the Lord as we look at it together. If it is not, then I hope I will soon see that and we'll read it in the hearing and soon get out of the way. If the Lord is in the matter, we pray that He will feed us tonight from His Word. And His Word is a supply force. It's that which is for doctrine and proof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And it's given to the man of God and the little child of God. And we meet tonight as God's little children, dependent upon the Lord for our feeding. So I hope you come praying tonight that the Lord would be with us and the Lord would bless us. And if you haven't come praying, I hope you'll pray right now that God would just bless us as we sit together, that it might be truly in heavenly places that the Lord would lift us up from this world, from this natural setting in which we're in, and we might feel His manifest presence. And if we feel that, we'll see and understand a little better what's contained in the message and the truth that's laid out in this particular psalm. This psalm is talking about the secret place of the Most High. It's talking about the blessed place of fellowship with the Lord in His presence. It's talking to God's little children, the man of God. It's talking to those that are born of the Spirit. It's talking to those that have been given eyes to see and ears to hear and eyes and a heart to understand the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And it's talking about God's little children walking in faithfulness close to the Lord in their prayer life, in their church life, in their activity in this world, in such a way that the protection of God's hand is upon them, not because of what they do, but in what they do. That as we draw close to Him, as we lean upon Him, as we trust in Him, and as we depend upon Him, we don't get things because of that, but we get things in that. As we lean upon Him, there's a protecting hand that is there for us because God is God, and He has promised that He would take care of us. So we're not talking about doing something tonight. When we read this, it's not talking about doing something that we do in order to get something from God. We don't first act so God will return the favor. We don't do things for Him so that He will do things for us. But it is talking about our duty and our responsibility to walk in the grace that God has given us. And in that walk, there is a protection. There are promises that are found as we walk in that you will not have outside of doing what the Lord has told us to do. I read one minister recently who wrote that the Lord won't do for you that which He has told you to do. Now, God could do it, but what God requires of us and what God has told us to do in His Word, the Lord will chasten us. The Lord will make us wish we were doing what He would have us to do. The Lord will make us sorry we did not do it. But God holds us as children, not as puppies, not as puppets on a string, or not as little dolls that you would arrange in a house and set in the right place. The Lord doesn't have a bunch of little dolls that He puts in place, but He has children. And He requires of His children obedience. And He gives them the ability to work, to do that which He calls on them to do, but He's not going to do for them that which he has given them to do. To those that much is given, the scripture says there is much required. And again, it's not in order for God to, he's already blessed us. He's already given us a salvation. He's already supplied all these wonderful promises. But in order to enjoy them, to feed upon them, again, we're not talking about relationship. We're talking about fellowship. No matter what you do, you're God's child tonight. If the Lord's ever loved you, he's always loved you. He loved you before the foundation of the world. You love him. If you love him, it's because he first loved you. And the Bible here, as we read it, will talk about those who set their love upon the Lord. How can a man set his love upon the Lord? The only way a man can set his love upon the Lord is because the Lord first loved him. We love God because he first loved us. But then because he had loved us, we are to set our love upon him. And if we love him, the scripture says, we'll keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments won't limit your life, won't limit your enjoyment, won't take away from your life, or rob you from, it'll keep you from things in the world that you think might be valuable and important. But as God's little children, we're told what? To love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if we get wrapped up in the things of the world, especially if we become covetous, which God's little children can become, where we're dissatisfied with what God has given us, and we're always looking for that next step, that next level, that next raise, that next whatever. All of those things, raises and all of those blessings, naturally speaking, as we heard today, they're not in and of themselves bad things. As a matter of fact, it's a blessing when God supplies to us the natural things of life, the natural needs that we have. But let's just be real tonight in the sense of realizing and recognizing the Lord's really been good to us. He has given us above what we could really ask or think. He's supplied to us, even naturally speaking, houses and homes and livelihood and the place where we live and the country we live in and the protections we live under and all of the natural blessings of life, just the natural clothing and the food and the raiment and, you know, all that God has promised. We should be certainly content with what God has given us. Now, am I always content like I ought to be? No. And I sadly confess that before you tonight. There's sometimes I want things to be a little more. I want to have a little more of this, a little more of that. I want things to be this way. I don't want them to be that way. I'm very particular about certain things. Amen, coming from several places in the congregation. But the fact and the reality of the matter is God has been so good to us that I need to be striving and I need to be laboring to enter into the rest that the Lord has provided for me as a little child of God in simply turning it over to the Lord and trusting him and leaning upon him and leaving it in his hands and doing what he has told us in his word. And finding in that, not because I do it, but in that, I'll find, you following that, it's not because I do it, but in that, I'll find a peace and a rest and a contentment and a joy and riches that the world cannot give us. We'll not find it in the world. And if we depart from following the Lord in order to try to find our happiness into the world, which sadly many times God's little children do. We do it. We see others do it. And we encourage and want to encourage more God's little children to be faithful, to be steadfast, to look to the Lord, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know in this world, all the things we do is just vanity and vexation of spirit. But in the Lord, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we do in the service of God, you'll not regret you did that. And what you do in the study of God's Word, you'll not regret the time you spend studying God's Word. You not regret the times you spend singing with the saints in a little church, lifting up your voice in praise to God and adoration. You'll not be ashamed, or you'll not be sorry that you by heart have been able to memorize a hymn that can come to your mind at times of trouble and grief and heartache in this world, that maybe when we're pressing a dying pillow and we don't have a book to open, the Lord will put a song that he's allowed us to have down through our life upon our hearts to give us that moment of peace that we need. And maybe not so much for us, but for a family member that's sitting there grieving. Not, you know, God's little children that are about to go home, they're all right. You know, that's good to know. But God's little children that are left behind, sometimes it's really hard and difficult for them. But the words that the Lord might give you to be an encouragement to that little brother or that little sister that sees you about to leave this world and wonders about everything can have great peace and consolation in their hearts as they see that evidence of the work of grace in you. And if it's in you, how much did you and I have to do with that? Not a thing. It's all been because and by the grace of Almighty God. And yet, how seldom sometimes we as God's children really shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives so that the world may see your good works and ultimately do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now sometimes the world despises it. Sometimes the world hates it. Sometimes the world doesn't always appreciate it. But I'll tell you, anytime a little child of God shines forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, they've been made as lights in this world to shine in this dark world. You've been made to shine as lights in this world. And as sure as he's given you the light to shine, we're to shine forth that light, and we're to let it so shine, not just shine any old way, but let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works. That means pointing to Jesus. Let it shine in a way they know where it's coming from. And there will be those that may hate you because of it, but there are others that have also been touched, that have an eye to see it, an ear to hear it, and a heart to understand it, that can really rejoice in the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight we're not alone in this world? Aren't you glad the Lord didn't leave you where you were, dead in trespasses and in sin? Aren't you so glad? You know, somebody said, have you found Jesus? I'll tell you, it's not about have you found Jesus. The question is, has the Lord come to you? Did the Lord know you? Did the Lord choose you before the very foundation of the world? And then, as he's awakened you by his grace and given you life, are we living it close to him? We sang that hymn tonight, and I thought about this verse also as we... And it was on my mind before, but it always made me feel better about what was on my mind when we sing safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. There by his love o'ershaded, there my soul shall rest, not getting all of that. But that wonderful hymn is laying out what Psalm 91 proves and tells us is the truth. And that's why we can sing safe in the arms of Jesus and know it's true. Because it's founded on the teachings of God's Word. Psalm 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, that shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Verses 14 through 16 is the Lord speaking to the little brother who's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Most of the chapter is talking, we hear, and I believe, the voice of David by the inspiration of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to us about the one that's dwelling on high, and then also putting himself in that place where he is trusting and depending upon the Most High, and he's having fellowship with others who are dependent upon the Most High. I hope tonight we can feel that. I hope I can feel it, and I hope you can feel it, and we can share together the wonderful blessing of this place that the Lord has provided for us in a world that's so full of trouble. Man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Just as the sparks fly upward, our life is going to have troubles and problems and trials and tribulations. But we have promises given to us in God's word because we are his children. Now, we are his children not because of what we've done, but we're his children because of what he's done. Know ye that the Lord, and I know I quote this a lot, but it's Psalm 100, it's still good. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And that's a big word right there, that the Lord we serve, he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He's not a wannabe God. He's not one who would like to do something, but he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There are benefits and blessings for the Lord's little lamb and the Lord's little sheep who abide in the safety of the fold that the Lord has given for us here in this world. You don't get blessings by getting into it on your own, but you find blessings as you walk in it, as you live in it, as you abide in the vine, as you take up your cross and follow him, as you seek him and his presence in prayer, as you look to his word and seek for the guidance and direction that comes from his word, as you attend the house of God and participate in the ordinances of baptism and the ordinances of communion, and you have fellowship with the saints here in this world, in all of that, not for every, not for what you do, but in all of that, there is life abundant, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and it's all found even this side of the grave. And what a blessing it is tonight to know that there's a little heaven that the Lord has provided for us, even in this world. It's not eternal heaven yet, but it's a little earnest of that inheritance that's prepared for you, that's incorruptible and undefiled and faded not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. You and I tonight can enjoy a little piece of that. You and I tonight have been given the earnest of it. You and I tonight, as the children of God, have been given the capability, have been given the want to, the hunger, the thirst, the feeling of being poor in spirit, all that we stand in need of that causes us to draw close to him. And what we want to do is beware of the snare of the fowler, beware of the adversary, be vigilant, be assured that if he could and if he can, he will rob us of the joy that we should be having as God's little children. This psalm is telling us there's a place in this world where there's sweet fellowship with the Lord. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Notice who we're in the presence of tonight. We're not in the presence of a little God, not a God who would like to be God, not a God who could be God if you let him. But we're in the presence of the Most High. Who is our God? He's the Most High. He's not only high. The clouds are high. The stars in the sky are high. But he's the Most High. The potentates of this world might feel like they're high. They may feel exalted. They may be lifted up. You and I sometimes can get puffed up and think we're something. But compared to the Lord, all of the little gods of this world, all of the powers and the forces and the might that be in the Lord, all things by His power, all things consist. He made all things. He created all things. And He keeps all things. And He's reserving all things for the time when He says time will be no more. And until that time, you and I tonight are dwelling in the presence of the Most High. Now, He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. The word is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. And He's omniscient. That means He knows everything. He knows everything we stand in need of. He knows what's going on in our lives. Nothing is happening in your life or my life. Nothing is happening with our health. Nothing is happening with our wealth. Nothing is happening in our homes. Nothing is happening upstairs right now, wherever those wires are upstairs. Nothing is happening that can, that the God of heaven, though we might find out things, God doesn't come up and find out things. He already knows. Isn't it good to know Jesus knows? And it's also good to know He cares. He's omniscient and He's omnipotent. That means He has all, the Lord thy God omnipotent reigneth. That means He rules and He reigns. And that is the one that He said of these that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now, notice they don't just come in and stay a little while and leave. Notice they come in, they sit down, they lay down, they sleep there, they wake up there, they get up in the morning there, they go through the day there. They're there on Sunday morning. They're there on Saturday night. They're there on Monday morning, Tuesday morning. It's an effort, but God's little children have the capability by the grace of God. Although we'll fall short in this, we'll come up short in this. No man's going to, we're not talking about reaching a place of complete perfection here in this world as far as our efforts. But you and I ought to be striving as much as we can in Him to abide close to the Lord. That means we want to live that. It's good when you're in the pulpit on Sunday morning, but it's good also when you start going out the door and when you go in the afternoon and come in on Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and all the way through the week. And we need to strive to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now, what is that secret place? We have in the Psalms here, in Psalm 31, if you have your Bibles, verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." Boy, we could preach on that tonight, couldn't we? How great is God's goodness? We got a great Lord, but He's a good Lord. And how great is His goodness? I love to talk about His goodness. I love to talk about His greatness. And I love to talk about how great His goodness is. And here we find the psalmist, and this is a psalm of David, and it says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Now notice this. This is Psalm 31, verse 19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which He has what? He has laid up for them that fear thee." Now this is the one who's the Most High. And that's why when we're dwelling in the secret place, when we're close to Him, we're close to Him in our thoughts. We're close to Him in our study of the Word of God. We're close to Him in our meditation. We're close to Him in the troubles and in the problems. We're close to Him. Now listen, He is always with us. He is always present with us. His eyes are always on us. But like the prodigal son, sometimes we can get away from the Father's house. But the Father never got His eyes off the Son. I believe He saw Him even in the hog pen. Oh, thank the Lord for the rain. I hope it rains good. And here's an evidence of how great is His goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Now, who fears Him? We know that there's no fear of God before their eyes. That is the natural man. Now, who's that talking about? That's talking about you and me as we were in nature. We will never fear the Lord. I couldn't have scared you enough and make some effort to scare you. I might get you scared a little while, but it wouldn't last very long. And as soon as you got out the door, you wouldn't be scared anymore. And, you know, you just say, "Let me get away from that place. They scare me. And I don't want to do anything to do with that." But the Lord puts a fear in your heart, which is not a slavish fear. He doesn't scare you into being a slave in order to serve him. Tonight, we're not to serve him because we're afraid of him like a slave would an evil master. We've got a good God, a good master. He is our master, but we ought to serve him because we love him, because our master loves us. He loves his servants, and his servants are not just servants. His servants are sons. You see, that prodigal son was a son when he was in the hog pen. He just wasn't enjoying the father's house. That prodigal son was a son when he came to himself, and then he came home and he said, I don't want to just make me as one of the high servants. I don't need to be a son anymore. Just let me come home, because I know there are blessings where? In the father's house. Y'all believe there's blessings in the father's house? There are blessings being drawn close to him. Are there blessings in calling upon the Lord? Are there blessings in studying his word? Are there blessings of being in the fellowship of God's little children? Is there blessings in a communion service and a baptismal service? I'm telling you, the highlights of my life are surrounding those places and those times where I felt the Lord's presence in the fellowship of the brethren, and loving one another and keeping his commandments and turning even the other cheek. You know, God can make you happy even when somebody's beating on you. You might turn the other cheek and somebody smack the other side. What do you do then? Well, you just turn the other cheek, knowing this promise. I'm in the presence of the Most High. And that Most High is a God full of goodness, which has laid up for them that fear thee how great is his goodness, he says, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In other words, as I face this old world, and this world is messed up, isn't it? This world is all mixed up, messed up, going the wrong way, confused, don't understand, and they're going on in their way thinking everything is good with them, but we're told to trust in the Lord before the sons of men. No matter what other men say, no matter what the mockers say, no matter what anyone else says, let's be steadfast, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because we are the Most High. And that Most High, he says, and then verse 20, he says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Now, where is the secret place of the Most High? It's the secret of his presence. That means when I feel his presence. When I feel his presence in the pulpit, I'm not afraid at all. Matter of fact, it's hard to shut. It's hard to keep quiet. I want to keep on speaking. I want to keep on talking to the Lord's people. And I'm really, at that point, not worried if it's too long for you or not. It's because I feel his presence. And I have felt that from time to time. And I long for it. And I want it more. I need it more. You know, the same thing when it comes time to stand before God's little children, you brethren that stand to pray, you know how much you feel the need of him. And when you feel his presence, it's all right. Everything is okay. And when you can't feel his presence, you say, oh, Lord, help me, because I know I can't do this on my own. Some of you say, well, I'm not a preacher and I've never offered public prayer in the church. It's not my calling to do that. Every little sister here, every little brother here, we all have a calling and a duty and a responsibility. Some of you have a great calling of being sweet encouragers. Some help so much with the singing. Some help so much with all the different things that are needed to be taken care of and all the things that are happening. Each and every one of you are absolutely necessary and important. If you were not here, we would miss you. And I say that not to give you the glory, but to give God the glory for giving you such a sweet gift that you share with one another when you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You see, a preacher who's not trusting in the Lord can't preach a lick. And a brother who's not trusting in the Lord for the words to pray can't pray a lick. And the little sister or the little brother that's in the pulpit, that's in the pew, can't do what the Lord would have them to do. What do we need the Lord in order to do anything? What does the Bible say? Without me, he told his disciples, without me ye can do nothing. So I need him. I need him to pray. I need him to sing. I need him to worship. I need him to love my children. I need him to love my to love. A wife needs him to love her husband, and a husband needs him to love love his wife, and to love our children, and to walk in this world as untoward generation, shining as light. You and I don't have a light. I don't have a light in and of myself, but I've been made a light in the Lord. Ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk therefore as children of light. That's Ephesians in the 5th chapter. He says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. That means I'm going to protect them. I'm going to watch over them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to have my angels, give my angels charge over them. I'm going to help them in the nighttime. I'm going to help them in the daytime so they do not have to be afraid for the terror that's in the night. They do not have to be afraid of the pestilence that's in the world. And when the plague is hitting and all around them folks are falling, they will not fall. That doesn't mean it won't come to them. It means they're not going to come to them without God's permission. God suffering it to be. And listen, if the Lord suffers it to be and you and I leave this world, is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. You know, one of the best things that a little child of God gets to do in their life is to die and to go home to be with the Lord. You preach that in the world, you know. Let Joel Osteen bring that up a little while and see how the congregation takes it. And see if that the Colosseum stays and remains full. And I don't usually mention names, but that just happened to pop up. I'm telling you, farewell, vain world, I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. The best thing that happened to a little child of God in their lifetime is when the Lord sees fit to say, come on home. And they're delivered out of this world from the pain and the sorrow that is to come. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to be present with the Lord is to see Him face to face and to enjoy not only the earnest of your inheritance, but the real inheritance. That's coming. An inheritance that's what? Incorruptible. That's what? Undefiled. That's what? It fadeth not away. And is reserved where? In heaven. For whom? I can say it. For you. It's there for you. I pray and hope. And that hope is not a wish, brother, is it? It's an earnest expectation. It's a word that means it's an anchor to the soul. It's both sure and steadfast. Jesus Christ is our hope. I'm telling you how big your hope is. Your hope is so great because it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in what He did for you. It's in His finished work. It's in the one who is the Lord, who is the Most High God. That's who He is. Who is our God? He's the Most High God. We're looking for the secret of His presence. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. That's a promise. Isn't it good to know when you get trouble in this world? Have you felt that? Have you been there? Or you've been in trouble and you just don't know where to go or what to do, and the Lord hid you in His pavilion. That means His shelter. You and I were outside when the rain started coming. We'd be looking for some shelter, wouldn't we? We'd be looking for something to cover us. We'd be looking for something to protect us. If it was a real storm, we'd want as solid a shelter as we could have. We'd want a pavilion. We wouldn't want one that's going to blow away. We wouldn't go looking for something we think could be destroyed. We might even want to go to the basement and have as much protection above our head. But we know, naturally speaking, there is no protection that can really protect us and keep us except the little child of God that dwells in the secret place of the Most High has His pavilion that we can run to as a place of refuge in the time of trouble. He shall hide me in His pavilion. Notice what He says, what this pavilion is. In the secret of His tabernacle. In the secret of His tabernacle, which is also the secret of His presence, which is also the secret place of the Most High. And it says, He shall hide me, shall He hide me. I believe it's picturing really the Lord Jesus Christ. We're hiding in Him. He is the one who covers us. His shed blood covers us. We're trusting in Him, not in our righteousness, but in His righteousness. And He said, He shall set, that word set means to put a place. He shall set me up upon a rock. Tonight I hope you and I are feeling that the Lord picks us up and he sets us up upon a rock. And our life and our house is built upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is Jesus Christ and his teachings. And then when the storms come and the rains fall and the wind blows and the water rises, our house is going to stand. Why? Because it's built upon a rock. Where is it? It's on the secret place of the Most High. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Shall abide, that means you're going to dwell. Notice the words. He says dwelling and abiding. Doesn't mean just slip in and slip out. Doesn't mean just pray once a while and then just linger on out of there. It means have communion and fellowship with the Lord. It means to lean upon him. It means to trust in him. It means to long for him. And when we can't feel him, it means to pray, Lord, lift me up. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, help me feel thy presence. And when I get cold, and we all do, and we get dry and barren, we ought to pray. We ought to be a praying people. Lord, hear my cry. Does the Lord hear you cry? Listen what he said in verse 15. He says, he shall call upon me. The Lord says this. Who's going to call upon him? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Isn't it good to know when you call on the Lord, he will answer you? And he says, I will be with him in trouble. Does that sound like maybe I will and maybe I won't? Does it sound like sometimes I will, sometimes I won't? No, here's a promise. To those who draw close to him, he'll draw nigh to thee. And again, this is not how you get in him. It is because you are in him. These promises are made to you, and we should long and lean upon him in our homes, in our lives, and especially in our church. Oh, if we ever forget to ask the Lord to come to our meetings, if we ever forget to ask the Lord to bless our meetings, if we just take for granted that the Lord's going to give it to us because he has in the past, and we take him for granted, and we forget how he stands at the door and knocks. And he says, if any man will come and open the door, I will come and sup with him and he with me. But if we forget him and forget about him, we become neither hot nor cold, but we become lukewarm. And what did he say about that? We'll not lose our relationship, but we'll lose our fellowship. He'll spew us out of his mouth. And that means in a way of fellowship. He's not going to lose one of his children because they were given to him by the Father. And the Father gave them to Jesus, and Jesus came to save them, and he will save them. And all that the Father giveth me, he said, will come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, right? But the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that all that he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. And that means he won't lose them or any part of them. But we'll raise it up again at the last day. But we can lose fellowship. We can lose that intimate feeling of his manifest presence, even to the point, as David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because he had got in the way of the world. He had stopped dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He ceased to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2 says, and I will say of the Lord, here David speaking, this is his mouth, with his mouth confession is made. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. May the Lord bless us all tonight to say that together. David says, the man that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means I'm going to protect, the Almighty's going to protect him. Notice the words again. He says the Most High, and then he calls him to what? The Almighty. That means he's completely self-sufficient. He's all-sufficient. He's all that you need. He's all that I need tonight. He's all that you need tonight. We have him and have his manifest presence in our lives. It doesn't matter what else happens. It is, as the hymn writer said, it is well with my soul. He said, I will say of the Lord. I believe this is confession that ought to come from the mouths of God's little children. Again, not because we made him Lord. He's Lord because he made himself Lord. He is Lord because he is God. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. And I will say of him, he is my refuge. That means I'm going to flee to him. Why? Because he's my God. He gave me life and I'm going to flee to him. He is my fortress. That means he's going to surround us like Jerusalem, like the mountains surrounded Jerusalem and protected them. The Lord surrounds us and protects us. He's a wall of fire about me. He's given us walls and bulwarks for salvation surrounds us. He is watching over us. He's protecting us. He even has sent his angels to be guardians and to watch over us. The Lord's angel encampeth round about them that fear him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And again, we fear him because he's worked at us in our heart. He gave us a fear, a reverence of God in our heart. He said, surely, which means truly, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Notice he says, I'm saying this is where I am, and now here's where you are as a little child of God. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I'm telling you, this world, you want to see what this world is? This world, this word pretty well describes it. It's a noisome pestilence. That word is noisome. I used to look at it, and when I originally, right at first, looked at it, just not knowing what the word meant, I thought it meant making a lot of noise. And the world does make a lot of noise, but that's not what this word means. This word means, talks about being, it's perilous and it's deadly, it's destruction that we have in this world, that which is perilous and deadly to the little child of grace. And we need protection. Do you believe we need protection from this world? I certainly do. This world is not our home. This world is not our friend. And we need protection in this world. And we have an adversary. He says, the snare of the fowler. If you read over in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, it talks about the snare of the devil. It even talks about some of God's little children that have been brought under the captivity of the snare of the devil. It talks about the minister that's about to go preach, to pray that he had a good, that he had a good report, that he might not be overtaken by the snare of the devil. We remember Peter. Remember the Lord told Peter that Satan had desired thee. Over in Luke 22 and verse 31, he says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I love this though. Here's this. You want to see the secret place of the Most High? You want to see the protecting hand of the shadow of the Almighty? He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Isn't it good to know the Lord prayed for Peter, and he prayed for him individually. Here we see a perfect example of the words ye and the word thee in the King James translation, which is very important. Ye is a plural form. It's a pronoun that describes more than one person. So when it says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, he's not only talking to Peter, he's talking to you, and he's talking to you, and he's talking to each and every one of God's little children. Believe me tonight, Satan is not only just after Peter, but he was after all the disciples. He's after all the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cannot take their eternal life, but he will rob them of their joy if they succumb to the snare of the fowler. But notice what it says here. It says, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. So how am I going to get away from the snare of the fowler? How can I go to battle against the old devil? With he's my adversary and he would destroy my life. How is this world not going to overwhelm me when I'm so weak and it seems like the world at times is so strong? It's because I'm dwelling, and that's where I need to dwell, and that's where you need to dwell. We need to strive to enter into this straight gate, into this narrow way, which is the secret place of the Most High, which is the presence of the Lord. Because when you're in the presence of the Lord in this way, he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Isn't that good? Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Notice what he said back over to Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. So he's speaking to Simon. But he's also speaking to all. He says, you. Simon was one. He would have said thee if it meant only Simon. But he said you, which means he's talking to all the disciples. And it's because it's in God's word, it's speaking to you and me tonight as God's children, that he may sift you as wheat. He just like to shake up your life. He like to shake up your trust. He like to shake up your security. He like to cause you to start doubting God, just like he did with Eve, as he came there and he had her question what God had said and question God's word. The devil would like us to question his word. He'd like us to question the Lord's church. He'd like us to question our fellowship and our love. He'd like to question our calling. He will do any of those things. He said, but and where is our help? He said, but I have prayed for thee. Now, notice his prayer wasn't just in general to all of God's children, but he prayed specifically for Peter. I believe he prays specifically for you. I believe he prays for the man that's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I believe there's a safety, there's a security. And again, it's not in order to do something to get in this. It's because you're God's little child chosen in him. And yet there's a safety that's found when we draw nigh to the Lord. And there's trouble that'll be found when we do like the prodigal son, leave the father's house and the blessings of the father's house. We'll find ourselves soon in the pig pens of this world, and so hungry we would eat that which we'd be feeding swine, and yet no man would give us that. That's a low, low place for a little Jewish boy to be, out there feeding swine, which the Jew wasn't even supposed to eat. But that's how the world will treat you. That's what the world has for us. Listen, men are waiting for us to go another way and go another direction so that they can swallow us up. And then we'll be under the loving chastisement. It's loving chastisement of Almighty God because we rebelled against him. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, he talks about the adversary. May not get much farther than this verse tonight, but he says, be sober. Don't be drunken in this world. Be vigilant. That means be diligent. Be watchful. Be looking. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, be aware that he's there. He's telling us that he's there. Remember, the Lord has prayed for thee that your faith would not fail, but we need to exercise the faith he's given us. And when you are converted, we are able to strengthen the brethren. When are we able to help the brethren? When we are on track. We can't help the brethren if we're off track. We can't help our families if we're off track. A preacher's off track won't be able to help the church. He needs to be on track in order to be able to be an example to the flock and to be one who's leading in the right path and in the right direction. He says, be sober. This is 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, that means your enemy, the devil, what is he? As a roaring lion, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why do we have faith? Because the Lord prayed for us, didn't he? And he said that your faith wouldn't fail. Will your faith hold up? Absolutely. How do we know that? Because the Lord's prayed for your faith, and your faith will not fail. He says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whatever you're going through, you may feel like you're the only one going through it, but you're not. Whatever trouble you've got, whatever problem you have, God's little children have faced it before. And the devil might come and say, if you were really a little child of God, you wouldn't be going through this. You wouldn't be having these thoughts or these problems. Know that he comes, and any way he can attack, he will use that. Notice verse 10. But the God of all grace, that's the Most High. Who is he? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's good news right there. You know where we're going? To eternal glory. Why? Because he called us to it. And if God called you to it, you won't miss it. You won't lose it. He's called us to his eternal glory. He says, after you had suffered a while, in this world we're going to do what? Suffer a while, but what's going to happen? He's going to make you perfect. That means he's going to make you complete. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. And what can I say about all that? Oh, ain't I something? No. He says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That sound good to you tonight? Sounds like we got a God who's worthy of our trust and our dependence. He says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 3, Psalm 91. And he shall cover thee with his feathers. Can you see the Lord now covering this little congregation here at Happy Creek with his feathers? Covering God's little children's individual lives with his feathers. Covering your family with his feathers. He's watching over his children. And under his wings shalt thou trust. It's safety under his wings. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I can count on his word to be that which protects me. I can hold it. I can have my loins girt about with the truth as part of my armor. My helmet, the hope of salvation. My shield of faith. My shoes, the gospel of peace. And I can go forward into battle carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we can trust in the Lord, praying and leaning upon him. And we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor about for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, the terror by night is what troubles might come in this world in the nighttime. And the arrow by day is the troubles that might come in the daytime. And you can have troubles at night, can't you? Sometimes the night seems so long and you feel like, if I can just see morning, and then you think, I won't have any trouble during the morning, but there are the arrows that fly by the day. There's trouble that happens in the night. You and I don't have to be afraid. What he's saying, don't be afraid. Whether it's night, whether it's day, whatever the case is, comes in the next verse and says, the same thing in a way, in different words. He says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That mean you won't have trouble. How do we know that you'll have trouble? Look at verse 15. He says, I will deliver him and honor him. And I will be with him in trouble. So, will God's little children have trouble sometimes? Yes. But it says, not without God's permission. Not without God suffering it to be so. And even when that comes, I believe it's one of those things when the Lord suffers it to be, he overrules it and even works good out of it. How many times have we thought this is the worst thing that could have happened to us, and the Lord turned it around to be one of the best things that ever happened to us, because he taught us things in that we could never see anywhere else. What a God we have to depend upon. He says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, which to me says God's righteous judgment is going to take place. Don't worry, God's not going to be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. And those that sow to the flesh are all going of the flesh reap corruption. Fret not because of evildoers, because their time is going to be short. In other words, let us not be jealous of those that seem to be getting along in the world doing the wrong thing. But let us remember the Lord's going to bring about that which is right and just, and he'll do it in his time and his way, and he doesn't have to ask our permission if it's okay to do it that way. He's a sovereign God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I love that verse because it tells us our involvement. That these who had the Lord, who were dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, had made the Lord, which was David's refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, do we have a responsibility in this? I believe that verse teaches that. Because thou hast made the Lord. We have a duty to make the Lord our habitation. Now, we can't do that without the grace of God and the mercy of God and without God working in us. But because he has worked in us, we should be seeking to make him our habitation. That is, I'm resting and trusting and depending upon him. And he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He's going to protect us. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That verse should be familiar to you. Because over in Matthew 4, you'll see in verse 6, that is one of the verses the devil used in order to try to tempt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he would have him cast himself down from the temple. And he says, and yet, you know what the devil did? He misquoted. That shouldn't surprise us. What he quoted was correct, but what he left out was vitally important. It says in Matthew 4, and we'll look at that. I know I'm lengthy, but that's okay. Matthew 4 and verse 6, he said, "And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now that sounds very similar to what he says over here, except he left out "in all thy ways." In other words, what he was wanting Jesus to do wasn't in the way of his heavenly Father. It wasn't in obedience to his commandments. It wasn't in the way the Lord was leading him and directing him as the Son of Man, as he lived here a righteous life and worked out a perfect righteousness for us. And therefore, as he quoted this scripture, he misused it in order to have Jesus do something that God has not told Jesus to do. The angels are not going to protect us when we run the wrong way and do the wrong thing. The angels, they may watch over us in a merciful way and help us along the way and show us grace and mercy. But I'm saying we have no promise of protection of the angels when you and I run our own course doing our own thing. But you do have a promise when you're doing what the Father would have you to do. When you take up your cross and follow the Lord, He will take care of you. And I believe there are angelic beings. There is God's created beings that watch over the heirs of promise at the direction of the Almighty God that protect us along life's way. Wonder how many times they've saved us and secured us while we were fussing about what happened. They're protecting us. Y'all believe that tonight? I believe it. And I want you to believe it. It says, "Thou shalt tread upon the young lion and adder, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." This is the Lord speaking about that little child of grace, because he set his love upon him. Why would we be able to set our love upon him? Because he first loved us. How do we know his name? Because he has taught us to know him. "They all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." He's worked that in us, but then we're to walk in it. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." God honors his little children in so, so many ways. He's honored us tonight in the sense he's allowed us as his little children to call on him as our heavenly Father, our Father who is in heaven. We pray to him tonight. He's honored us in allowing us to come and worship him tonight, to fall before his feet. He's called us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. One day we'll be brought into the very presence of God the Father, through the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he'll say, "Father, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me." And we'll be accepted in his presence and honored in his presence, not for what we have done, but because of what he has done. And he says, "With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation." I hope the Lord blesses us to see his salvation more and more. His salvation eternally. It was done and purchased for us when Jesus died on the cross, secured our home in heaven. And his salvation every day that we live, as we go through the timely troubles of this world, leaning and trusting upon him. And all of that came to us through the cross. Not because of what we've done, in spite of what we've done. He has shown us such great favor, such great goodness. May we rejoice and praise him, giving him the glory and the honor and the praise. And always say, "To God be the glory." When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.